Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, I only allowed you a minute to talk about Dwight Gall's effect on the offensive line. Did you have any follow-up to that conversation?
You know, I was actually pretty proud of my nutshelling there, that I was able to get all of my facts into less than a minute and 10 seconds. My feeling, I did not get in there as far as my vitriolic disagreement with the idea that Dwight Gall is somehow to blame that Penn State can't run block when you have a guy who came back from a car accident, and I think it's reported that he broke his back in the car accident playing guard and center for you. Is he a miracle worker, like literally doing miracles? Is that what you want? You want that, like, I don't want to get biblical here, but blood from a stone is a fair comparison. Turning water into wine, making the blind see. There's only so much you can do if you are not physically the person doing it.
All right. What I should inform our listeners is between segments, T. Frank and I continued the conversation, and that rendition of this conversation was not a G-rated version. So we shall move on, T. Frank.
The one thing I want to say is, like, you know, I work with a lot of great reporters, and they go out and they get the facts and information. They break news. These are my facts. This is how I'm a reporter. I go in and I watch the film and I bring you what I believe to be the facts of what are, you know, in an area that can be a little bit gray. And I will admit that. But when we get to that point, it's just you being emotional and throwing around blame because on things you don't understand. So I get a little bit aggressive in those areas when I see and hear things that are just ridiculous. And that's what that crosses a line for me of one of the best strength coaches in America with one of the best resumes. And you're like, yeah, well, these five positions didn't do well. So we're going to blame him. Like, just stop.
And we've got T. Frank on a roll. I love it, T. Frank. Now, let's move on. Now that we got, I think we're pretty clear on your take on that question about Dwight Gall's effect on the offensive line. Let's move on to some of the players who are coming and going. Sean Clifford and P.J. Mustafa are two players who we didn't know what they were going to do. They have both declared they'll be returning for the 2022 season. I put them together. They were the two players that got hurt in the Iowa game. Mustafa was gone then for the rest of the season. Meanwhile, Sean Clifford came back, and my opinion was he wasn't the same after that. He played pretty well the first five games or so. My question is, for both of them, what does it mean for the offense that Clifford's back, for the defense that Mustafa is back?
I'll start with Mustafa because I don't know. Because I don't know the status of his injury. I have my suppositions about what it was based on seeing similar actions on a football field resulting in certain injuries. And again, I'll say what it reminds me of, if you go and you watch Saquon Barkley's torn ACL against the Chicago Bears, I feel like there's a similar situation, but I don't know what the extent of PJ Mustafa's injury is or where he is in his rehab process. So I do know I just know based on timetable and all of those things that we're right now in the middle of winter conditioning. So if you're not able to get bigger, faster, and stronger in the offseason or maintain your size and strength because you have a lower body injury, and he was on crutches, I can say that for a fact, you can't get bigger, faster, stronger. So what version of PJ Mustafa are you getting in 2022? I'm always conservative when it comes to injuries, rehab, and then play afterwards. So if you think that within 9 months, by the start of the season, he's going to be the guy he was before the injury, I think that's really unfair to you and to him, because you're going to get your hopes up and you're going to put him in a situation where he can't live up to that. So if by the end of the season we see a similar PJ Mustipher and Penn State can weather some storms without him, and then he comes back as a veteran addition in the middle that is playing at a good level, I think that's a fair comparison. That's a fair timeline. I would put it more on that. Now, again, I'm kind of taking some shots in the dark with injuries because that's what we do at Penn State football. We don't get the information covering Penn State football to know any of those things for a fact. And then with Sean Clifford, it just becomes, yes, he was playing well at the beginning of the season, but all of it was in structure. There weren't, and it was all mentally. He was playing good football. He was playing mental, he was playing poor mental football by the end of the season because he was pressing and the pressure was getting to him. The pressure was there all season. How he responded deteriorated over time. So that's got to maintain if he's going to be the starter next season. At the very least, you know what you're getting from Clifford, a veteran presence that in the right circumstances, in the right mental space, can win you football games that are close. So that's what you're going to start the season with, and then whatever happens after that, again, let's just throw some dice and find out, because I don't really know, based on what I've seen, if Sean Clifford is going to take the next step and become a poised pocket passer that delivers the ball to all parts of the field, because that's what he's trying to be the second half of the season. He tried to run less, he tried to scramble less, throw from the pocket, and I think we saw the results. So can he do that in 2022? Is there more that Mike Yurcich can get out of him? I'm not going to shut the door on that ever, but I just think the likelihood is low based on what I've seen of Sean Clifford.
I'm making you the coach of the team, a T. Frank, and just based on what you've seen, again, everything's a bit of a roll of the dice, as you said, but there were three options with Sean Clifford. He returns, as is going to be the case. He chooses to move on, and you go to the transfer portal. Or he leaves, mm-hmm. and you decide to go young. You're in charge. Which option would you have taken?
So now my job's on the line. I'm definitely having Sean Clifford back. If it's me not being the head coach, I would gamble and go into the portal and see if I could find somebody better. But relationships matter, consistency matters, all of those things do matter. Knowing the offense, having a quarterback in the system for more than 1 year does matter. So maybe he gets to his checkdowns in year two instead of trying to throw the ball and having a bit of a brain freeze every once in a while and then remembering that the running back outlet is there if he needs it and being reminded that on the sideline from time to time. Maybe that gets better in year two. I just hope for Penn State football fans' sake, and honestly for so that I don't have to say the same thing over and over again next year, that if there is a player that is ready to take over, that they let him play. If they, you know, that there is a true competition, that it's open. I'm a little skeptical based on what I've seen of James Franklin, that there is a soft, open competition. At times, the starter at Penn State gets a very long leash to make mistakes or to be injured without putting in the backup. Now, that's the way it is at every other program, by the way. Let me just say, every coach does that. But not every coach has a Sean Clifford. Some guys have better guys than that. And some guys have worse. But they don't have any better options other than that. Like, the other options are much worse. It's rare that you have more than one tangible option at quarterback, actually. And Penn State, to their opinion, with a freshman quarterback in Christian Bayou and with Taquan Roberson not taking a step forward, they didn't feel like they had an option this season either. So does that change in 2022? That's on Christian Bayou first. But it's then on people to make the decision afterwards. But you've got to force the decision. So that's where I think that's kind of the full picture to me is we'll find out more in the spring from Vayu. And then after that, you know, it's game on in training camp.
It will be interesting to follow. Let's move on. A nice addition to the team from the transfer portal. Mitchell Tinsley came in. I'm sure he won't be the last portal player to come in, but he's a great addition to the wide receiver room, is he not?
Yeah. So this is actually something we talked about on my show earlier this week, is a little surprised there hasn't been more transfer portal activity on the way out for Penn State football based on our projections. And Penn State, at the moment, as of recording, they are over their scholarship limit. Now, they've been active in the portal targeting people, so they clearly think that they're going to have room. So that's just one of those we haven't seen the announcement yet, but there's probably more coming. But when it comes to Mitchell Tinsley, I think he's much more of what Mike Yurcich's offense needs. And this is, again, it always sounds comparative, and it's no disrespect to Jahan Dotson, but Tinsley's bigger, he's more physical, and as a vertical threat, I think he provides that sort of ability. So that plus Parker Washington and the ability to break tackles and generate big plays on your own outside of the structure of the offense, I think both of those guys have the opportunity to be massive in that next year. So a boundary receiver in Tinsley that can do he can do it all to varying degrees of very good. Does he come to Penn State in this weightlifting program in the offseason, get bigger, faster, stronger, accentuate all those things we saw from Western Kentucky when he's got power 5 Division I resources? I think that is a very optimistic thing for Penn State's offense. They should be loaded with talent next year on offense, whether it's young, transfer, or returning. They have a ton of guys that have a ton of potential, and they have enough that I think enough of those guys are going to hit that it's going to be a very dangerous offense in 2022, especially vertically down the field.
You mentioned something, and I want to ask you about it, T-Frank, where you said you thought we'd hear more announcements. I was under the same impression. The spring semester has started. I expected players who were leaving to already have gone, and I expected more players to come in wanting to be there for spring practice and enroll in school. Why the slow start to the transfer portal, both in and out at Penn State?
Well, the in part is all up to the players in the portal and up to Penn State's process. So I think that's an easier answer, is that some of the guys maybe that left their programs late, or that are, I mean, we see on Twitter, like, there's a top five now in the portal where it's turning into just straight recruiting again, where teams are announcing their top five and announcing their offers, and not a huge fan of it, but that's the way it's going. So that part is easy. On the way out, I don't know. I mean, we've passed graduation, so some of the older players that have already graduated in the winter semester, maybe they're just waiting to announce until the spring. I don't know. But you'd think that the sooner you get your name out there, the sooner you're going to connect with somebody. And maybe it is one of those things where, you know, Penn State doesn't have any control over it, and guys are trying to reach out and get a destination before they put their name in the portal. But all this on my part is pure speculation. I really don't know. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me that guys haven't declared already one way or another.
And you brought up a good point. Maybe the whole system is flooded with players, and the talk has always been you don't enter the transfer portal without already knowing where you're going through some back channels. And if the system is just flooded, there's more players in the system than there are opportunities available. Because I haven't seen a whole lot of activity with other schools or otherwise besides Penn State. So anyway, T-Frank, that is it for quarter number two. I hope you all stick around, because we're going to get to your questions in quarter number three when we ask T-Frank.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.